Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters with me, your host, Dr. Christina Madison. I have another incredible guest with me here today, someone who I've been admiring from afar with all of her incredible travels. So Nabila, if you would like to introduce yourself, and then we're going to dive into some questions, because I'm sure that our audience would love to hear about how you got started turning your passion into your full-time job.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to catch up and share my story. So I'm a pharmacist. I've had quite a career within pharmacy and then some. So yeah, I think we connected, I don't even know when I was at GoodRx probably, but I've had a career in retail marketing. And not too long ago, I ventured out to make my passions of travel into a career. So I have, I guess you could say I'm a travel influencer, travel creator, journalist, and I recently started a travel company, which leads group trips around the world and also focuses, I think, on global public health on some of the freelance work that I do. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important to note that the fact that you are a solo traveler for a lot of the time that you've been traveling, and just thinking about like safety wise, how you can travel safely as a solo traveler and a woman of color as well. So like that's also a big thing as well. So would love to maybe just step back for a second and talk about like where that passion for travel comes from. And then we can kind of dive into a little bit of your, what I would like to call your advocacy work around global public health and how you got connected with some of those, since you have a very unique story of something that happened to you while you were traveling.
Yeah, definitely. Safety is super important while solo traveling. I guess my story of how I started or why I fell into it or even like it so much. I started traveling quite young. I had a lot of different experiences where I was interacting with different people and traveled on a trip to school when I was like as early as high school. And then when I was in college, I was looking for ways to travel. Travel and work. If I had to work anyways, I'd rather go work abroad. So I kind of got into that travel circuit when I became a nanny abroad in Spain. And then I just, I've always loved like different cultures, different foods, different people, learning about different religions, different things. So I always just kind of fell into travel. And then there's just, I think about travel is I didn't want to wait for anyone. Not everyone can travel. I feel like we have like issues sometimes with like your friends flaking, like PTO not lining up, priorities, commitments, you know, work. Sometimes it's really hard to just take time off. And so I said I wasn't going to wait for anyone, especially since like I was going to be in school for so much longer than most people. And I had this free time that I wouldn't have otherwise. So I decided to maximize. And then I just became part of like my lifestyle and something I couldn't let go of. And so that's why I travel now. I don't like to wait for anyone if there's something I want to do. So that's how I got started. And that's the story of my travel journey. I mean, who doesn't like to travel anyways? You get to go to really beautiful places.
No, it's incredible. So that's interesting. I've known you for a little while, and I actually didn't know that you were a nanny in Spain. So I have a family that is from Madrid. So that's interesting that you were a nanny in Spain. I was going to just ask, though, when you talk about travel, I just want people to understand, like, this isn't like continental United States. This isn't like just going to Europe. This is literally like everywhere in the world and like a lot of places that maybe some people just dream about. And then obviously like budgeting for that. And like, you know, I love that you have been able to combine sort of work and leisure. And obviously from the standpoint of like, from a social media standpoint, there are definitely ways that you can get some of your trip paid for or sponsored because of the fact that you're documenting your trip, and that could be used for marketing and branding purposes for the company that you're highlighting. So I know that that's something that you kind of like fell into a little bit. If you could maybe talk a little bit about how like some of your pharmacy skills sort of helped you with that, because obviously we all have great drug information skills, but I think that some of that sort of translates a little bit to how you've been able to research some of these travel opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. I think being a college student with not a lot of money was kind of like what led me to being super resourceful and looking for outside ways of traveling and getting things funded and finding opportunities. I would always say I'm kind of scrappy in that sense. I think a lot of pharmacy students even are when it comes to finding like internships, job opportunities, you kind of have to. And we've always been told to like, I guess like hustle because there's so much competition. So I think I've like used that mentality in like all aspects of my life. So when I was a student, I was trying to find budget ways to travel, like finding jobs, like being a nanny. But then I was also trying to double dip. If I had to do rotations, I was trying to find a rotation I could do abroad. And then like, if you're not going to get paid for your rotations and you still have to pay tuition, you might as well do it where you really want to and like allow yourself to find new opportunities. So one of the best things I think I did was working with my professor to set up a rotation in Zimbabwe, because I was obviously really interested in traveling. I definitely found like pharmacist position to be in a great place for public health, and being able to like talk about prevention, educating. And so I set up a rotation in Zimbabwe focusing on HIV AIDS, which is really prevalent there and has a lot of opportunity for us to help because of the pharmacotherapy, the drugs, and the education that goes into it. And it's something that I probably wouldn't have gotten to do as easily in the States as a student, because there's a lot of information you need to know, and usually super specialized pharmacists work in that field. And so I wanted to get a taste of it and decided to go there, which I think really helped me in finding opportunities after that, like for sponsorship, for press trips. But then I was also simultaneously building a platform. And I definitely recommend it, like in this day and age, if you can have a personal brand, do it, because you never know where it's going to take you. I think my travels aside have been the reason that I've gotten even into pharmacy school as part of my interview process, part of my job. My social media has gotten me multiple jobs. It's kind of allowed me to make it my career now. And so I think being able to research and to know like how to sift through information is probably a skill that I've like gained from pharmacy school, but have been able to like really just use in all aspects. And that really helps with finances, obviously, in terms of travel and making that work. But it also allows me to pitch myself for new opportunities because I have such a different, unique skill set. So with the global travel, I really have traveled around the world, like you have said. Like I've been to all sorts of different countries that for fun, obviously, and to see the beautiful sights, but also for like learning experiences, learning about how pharmacy works or how healthcare works. And so I really just double everything I've used in both fields to kind of find these opportunities.
So, I know that you had a bit of a health scare through one of your travels, and that's actually led you to some advocacy work. So I don't know if you want to maybe chat a little bit about, you know, what happened, and also kind of as like cautionary tale, but also to be prepared. And it was really good that you were a healthcare professional because you were able to advocate for yourself and being able to, you know, seek medical attention in another country.
Yeah, definitely. I still can't believe that story and how it's manifested into what it is today. But I went to Bali immediately after quitting my job to go on this like year-long sabbatical of just travel and following my dreams. And I think I was there for 2 weeks in Bali, and I started to feel really ill in a way that I hadn't felt in a really long time or ever. And I think I like self-medicated, like took care of myself for like 4 to 5 days and realized I wasn't getting better and had to go to a clinic. Cause I thought I had like a bacterial infection. I was like, okay, I probably need antibiotics now. Like it's a fever's not going down. And I got diagnosed with dengue fever, which I had heard about. I feel like it might not be so common to like, I didn't learn about it in pharmacy school or as a pharmacist, but oddly enough, I don't know if I manifested this upon myself, but I had oddly written an article on the new dengue vaccine, Dengvaxia, and had done a whole lot of research into writing it. And it was, I think, a month before I left for Bali. So When I got diagnosed, I was honestly surprised and was confused on how it happened. If you don't know, dengue is a mosquito-borne disease, so it is spread through mosquito bites. And in Bali, there are a lot of mosquitoes. But I had prepped with like a lot of mosquito repellent, wore long clothing, and still happened to get it. But having done some research, I think I was still calm, cool, collected because I knew and didn't have all those questions like flaring my mind. But I was hospitalized for 2 weeks. I had a very severe case of dengue and like dengue hemorrhagic fever. And I have never been hospitalized in my life or admitted. And I've definitely never been hospitalized in a foreign country by myself. So it was a terrifying experience, which I think I handled well. And this is something you should definitely think about when you travel, is how to handle yourself in a like emergency and what you're going to do. And if you have a game plan beforehand, it kind of helps ease like the stress and like the anxiety and overwhelming feeling, so you can think clearly. Because had I not actually gone to the hospital when I did, it could have been a lot worse for me, where they wouldn't have been able to get an IV. And if you're already bleeding, that's really, really bad. So I caught it at the right time and took the right precautions in getting that. But that whole experience made me feel like I had made a really great, bad mistake in quitting my job and traveling. I was like, oh, this is a bad sign. It was 2 weeks into my year-long journey, but it actually ended up being a teachable moment that I took to TikTok and shared my experience, because everyone goes to Bali and no one talks about this. And that actually led me to a really cool gig as an influencer with the World Mosquito Program. And that led to some really cool projects that I've worked on subsequently.
Yeah, no. There are several types of mosquito-borne illnesses from a travel medicine standpoint, and so I think it's, you know, I'm so sorry that you got sick, but I'm also really glad that you were able to, you know, use your platform for more awareness, and then also the fact that, you know, we do have a vaccine against dengue, and you know, we have you know, other vaccines available for mosquito-borne illnesses and preventative means that we can do to, you know, help with, you know, the spread of these illnesses. And so one of the first exposures that I had to mosquito-borne illness, not that I got any illnesses, but that I knew about, was because I work so closely with gender-based health and women's health. And there was this huge issue around Zika virus and that limiting people's ability to travel. And at the time, I was about to travel and ended up not being able to travel because there was a rise in Zika virus cases in Florida. And there was a professional conference that was going on there. And at the time, my husband and I were trying to get pregnant. And so like, these are things that like, you would not necessarily think of as being an issue in the United States. However, there are still some things that we still have to worry about that may impact our ability to, you know, just be able to just travel here in the United States as well. So initially, that particular infection was really prevalent in South America, but then we started seeing cases here. So I think it's just a really good idea just to understand, you know, what those diseases are, how you can prevent them. And then obviously vaccinations, which is, you know, one of the single most successful public health interventions in modern medicine, just understanding like before you leave the country, you know, what vaccines are recommended, and then doing a travel consult and understanding like based on where you're traveling in certain areas of the world, you may have different vaccine recommendations than if you travel to, say, sub-Saharan Africa or South America or, say, Europe, right? And so, because even Europe has had issues with, like, things that we aren't, you know, having challenges with. They've had measles outbreak, they've had a meningitis outbreak, they've had all these things because of issues around anti-vaccine campaigns that they've had in some of those countries, especially in France. So some of your work that you've done with the mosquito campaign, you said that that has led to some other opportunities around advocacy. Did you want to maybe mention some of those that you've had the ability to be involved in?
Yeah, so I feel like I think the biggest thing that's come out of it is being able to talk about travel and health together and why that should go into like your research when you're planning. I feel like all the time we look up like where to stay, where to eat, like the best sites to see, but I feel like there's no blogs, websites, or like it's not really programmed into your planning on like where to go to a hospital, what to do, what diseases to be aware of, like what to pack, or even like for certain countries that you can't even bring certain medications and certain things aren't available. Like health should come top of mind when you are planning your vacation because you're going there to have a good time. And like if you're not doing well, like health-wise, it'll ruin it. So it should certainly go into the planning when you're thinking about like bringing your credit cards and things like that should be part of the planning. So it's led to a lot of work in terms of like travel and health writing and changing how we write about it and making more resources available. So now when I write about travel, I take the angle of health and I have kind of forged myself into like a travel journalist path, but in a very niche of like healthcare writing within it. And in terms of the World Mosquito Program, so the campaign itself has been like several campaigns. I recently went back to Bali actually after getting dengue. And the thing with dengue is you can get it again. And right now there are no vaccines available for travelers to prevent dengue. It's I think it's not even out yet, but the vaccine is available for people who live in like Florida and Puerto Rico within a certain age. And so I can't get the vaccine, but I had to go back for this opportunity and I was very nervous to go back. But I went to work on a campaign that is combating mosquito-borne diseases. So the World Mosquito Program works on creating something called Wolbachia, which prevents mosquitoes from transmitting these viruses. So you basically breed them to have this natural bacteria called Wolbachia and then release them out into the city. And so that was something I was working on, educating the local Balinese people and working with them to kind of figure out challenges. And then I was able to also go to Australia, speak at Monash University, where the NGO is actually headquartered. And so it's allowed me to do that, but also connect with pharmacy students and introduce this different career path that like I couldn't have even like imagined for myself. And who knows what it'll bring up next time and what else it'll lead to. But I continue to talk about like travel health and things to be aware of, especially as a solo traveler, whenever I can and whenever I'm traveling.
Yeah. So I know you said that you do quite a bit of travel writing. Can you just like mention some of the different places that some of the listeners could go to if they wanted to see some of your writing?
Yeah, so I have bylines in Forbes, Business Insider, Travel and Leisure, Photers. So I have a couple of different publications for you to read. And then I also have my own blog still where I contribute occasionally, but whenever I feel like there's something to share that I can't really put together on Instagram or TikTok that needs a lot more words, I'll write on my own blog. But those are most of the places that you can find my work.
I tend to ask this question just because I feel like it's something that's always fun to leave the audience with. If there was something that you could tell your younger self that you know now that you didn't know before, what would it be and why?
Oh boy, there's so many things I would tell myself, but what's the one I want to lead with?
I know I surprised you with this one.
Yeah. I think I would say that don't take everything so seriously. Things always kind of work out. Like for me, I'm thinking, even just talking to you about it, when we met and probably even before, I think I probably reached out when I was like a student. My life, like my career has changed into like what I wanted, but didn't even have the words or like imagination to explain what I wanted. I just wanted a career within pharmacy that allowed me to travel and was creative and allowed me to use what I was good at. And I didn't know anything else, but it all kind of worked out in its weird own way. And I feel like oftentimes we take ourselves too seriously and put too much pressure. I know it's not that it's pretty hard to like say it and like not actually do it. But yeah, just don't take yourself too seriously. Like everything will work out.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I know, I've kind of chatted with you several different times in your professional journey. And I remember, when you were just kind of starting with GoodRx and you were saying like that you still have this like love of travel and all these things. And I was like, lean into that. I was like, there's definitely ways that you can market yourself. And I'm really glad to see that you were able to do that and you've had such an incredible experiences and that you're also, you know, you're advocating for, you know, for solo travel, you're advocating for women of color, and you're also advocating for the profession of pharmacy. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, how you could have married those things more perfectly, but I'm really glad to see, you know, what you've been able to do. And also like having that PharmD in the byline in some of those really important publications, I think is just hugely important for us, you know, as a profession, as we move forward with all of the changes that we've seen, you know, between pharmacy walkouts and, you know, people talking about drug errors and all these things. It's just really nice to see, you know, positive stories around pharmacy and pharmacists. So thank you for what you're doing. And I'm really excited to share your story with my audience.
Thank
and
you.
Really cool ways that you can implement public health and pharmacists within public health, and you can still travel the world and really enjoy yourself. So if people want to follow you, if they want to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way for them to find you on their favorite social media platform?
Yeah, I'm on all of them, but definitely Instagram and TikTok are the ones that I can get back to you the easiest. But yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and then you can find my writing portfolio also and reach out to me there.
And what is your handle?
Dose of Travel.
Which I love. Love the name.
Thanks. Yeah, it's very fitting. I think once I settled on that name, that's when I knew I would find a way to marry the two.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Nabila. This has been such a great conversation. I look forward to continuing to see all of your adventures, and I'm excited to see where this is going to take you. I know that you'll just continue to shine and be a beacon of hope and light for the rest of us here in the pharmacy profession that are looking for, you know, other ways that we can marry our passion and our love of pharmacy. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
If you want to see more episodes of this particular podcast, feel free to check us out. We have monthly offerings. Again, my name is Christina Madison. I am your host. And this has been another episode of Public Health Matters. And remember, all things can be related to public health.